you guys kept like adapting your approach and trying to challenge each other.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP. This week, we had the chance to sit down with a panel, and the panel comprised of a group of people that were involved in a really unique project over the summer with a company called BrownMed. It involved students, educators, and the local community. We had so much content from this podcast episode, we actually made two out of it. Here we begin with episode one. Thank you for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP. And today, for the first time, I have probably the biggest podcast, biggest as in being the most guests that we've ever had on our podcast since we started these. So I'm going to be honest, this is the first time I've been a little bit more nervous to do a podcast with so many people. But it's going to be a great topic we're talking about. I'm going to introduce everybody so that the audience knows who we have with us this afternoon. Before we get started, I just want to give you an idea, a background as to where we're headed. So over the summer, obviously we went through a pandemic. And during that pandemic, there was a company called BrownMed Inc. And the topic today is a really intriguing insight as to a silver lining that they brought forward for the Worcester area and in Massachusetts. And so we're going to feature that. Today we have a couple of guests with us that are students that were involved with this project, and we'll let you know how they were involved. We have a couple of individuals from the educational side of the situation, and we also have a representative from BrownMed itself. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce first and foremost one of my colleagues, Karen Myhaver from MassMEP. Hi, Karen.
How are you?
I'm good. Karen is a repeat offender. She's been on with us a couple of times. So this time she's going to kind of play the role of guest, host, host, guest. Does that work, Karen? Yeah.
That sounds right.
Okay.
That sounds right.
All right, so on the educational side, we have with us Brian Cummings. I just made fun of him, by the way, so everybody knows out there that his title is going to take me the next 15 minutes to announce, but I'm going to prep everybody ahead of time. Brian Cummings is the Advanced Manufacturing Department Head at Worcester Technical High School, and he's also an instructor for Innovation Pathways Advanced Manufacturing Program for Worcester. So welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We have also with us Drew Weymouth. Drew is the Director of Innovation Pathways Programs for Worcester Public Schools. So welcome, Drew.
Thanks, and thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Drew. We have with us our students that we have with us. We have Isla King. Hi, Isla.
Hey.
Is this your first podcast, Isla?
Yeah, this is.
Oh, it's exciting then for you,
yeah,
right?
So definitely.
Do you think are you more nervous than I am right now?
Yeah, a bit.
Don't worry. It'll be fine. I promise. We also have Samantha Torres. Welcome, Samantha.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Is this your first podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah? So. Good. All right. Well, we'll get you guys into the groove. You'll be pros by the end of this. I promise. And last but certainly not least, we have Landon Lee with us. Hello, and welcome, Landon.
What's up?
You obviously do not appear to be nervous whatsoever. Is that true?
I'm actually very nervous on the inside, although I do not know it. It's my very first podcast, too. So.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. All right. And I didn't forget in this, Corey, I'm going to introduce you, Corey Schiavelli. Right, Corey?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, that's how I used to pronounce it.
Corey is the HR manager at BrownMed Inc. So welcome, Corey.
Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. So, Karen, you want to give us a little bit of the rundown and set the table for us and why we're here this afternoon?
Sure. Well, I'll give you a little background, first of all. We have to go back pre-COVID to sort of the spring. And we were, actually the winter, we were looking for Innovation Pathways internships with manufacturers and had gotten several kids, lined up for internships. We also were working with the Worcester schools to do some job fairs for graduating seniors. And we were, Drew and I were on several different committees doing those types of things. Then COVID struck and everything, you know, went down the tubes. So I emailed out to the manufacturing community and asked them if they had any job postings for entry-level jobs for high school graduates. And Drew and the team from several of the Worcester high schools and I were putting together sort of a virtual online resource to take place of the job fair. And I got an email, this was April 30th, from Corey. And Corey was reaching out. I had never met Corey before, and I had not heard of Brown Med. And Corey said, hey, I'm wondering if you might have access to young people, high school students who need a job, because we are thinking of doing something with a satellite operation in Central Mass, and we're going to need some people to hire. So I got on the phone with Drew, and I said, hey, Drew, this sounds awesome. Maybe we are going to be able to rectify some of this and get the kids who were going to be interns into a summer internship. So that is how this all started getting together.
Wow. So, Corey, you're manufacturers in the state of Massachusetts, correct?
So technically, we operate in three different locations, and Boston is where our administrative offices. So that's really the part of the operations at Brown Med that is within the Massachusetts, you know, state borders. Do to take part of is, you know, to develop some opportunities for young people within the communities in Massachusetts. So it was right up my alley to get that started. And then we really just had to figure out the who's and the other logistics and the when and the, you know, some of the other hows. But
right.
Yeah, to get connected with Karen early on, and it set the tone. It did. It really did set the tone for how we were going to get this going.
So then that's kind of Karen and having the connections that she had. So Corey connects to Karen, then Karen connects to Drew. And then Drew, you and Brian, how do you guys fit into this?
So Karen and I have worked together for a couple of years now trying to provide opportunities for students that are specifically in the Innovation Pathways program, which Brian teaches both during the day to the Worcester students, Worcester Tech students, as well as in the afternoons to the Innovation Pathway students. And so Karen had kind of explained what we had set up in the spring. And then when, like, we literally had students set to go out on internships the week that we shut school down because of COVID. So we shut down, I think, a Thursday. We were supposed to have students start on Monday. So when this opportunity came around and Karen came to me and said, hey, I think I have this manufacturing company out of Boston and Iowa that is interested in setting up an operation. What do you think? I said, all right, let's have a meeting. What do they need? Let's figure this out. And so that's kind of, we sat down at the table with them and started planning. We had a lot of obstacles. The first one was we needed to find a site. And then another large obstacle was when we sat down with them, one of Corey's colleagues said, you know, we're looking for probably 65 students. And my eyes like popped out of my head. I was like, well, we had to find 65 students in 2 weeks. And that's where Brian also came in. And once we started recruiting a couple students, they helped and we managed to get there, but I don't want to jump ahead of the story. So, but Innovation Pathways is a way of, it's a program that is expanding career education to students across the district. It opens up the doors of Worcester Technical High School. So students from the other comprehensive schools in Worcester, Doherty, Burncoat, North, South, Claremont, and UPCS can come and get some career skills, and both technical and soft skills, and hopefully internships, and help map out what their plans are for after high school, with just some additional exposure. And so as part of that, we're constantly looking for partners in the community to get them that professional experience working for a company. So this is really a perfect fit for us when Brown Med and Karen connected.
Brian, your part in this, so you teach, mm-hmm. right? And so as a teacher, what was your perspective on this? And, you know, obviously with the pandemic, that's going to turn things a little bit differently. But when you saw this opportunity, what were your thoughts?
Sure. So first, it was just a kind of casual discussion of this sounds like it could be an opportunity for several kids. And how can we do this with all the students at home, for one? School's not available to do this in. Everything happening remote. And there were a lot of things that had to come together with as Karen said, Brandon in Boston, Corey in Boston, and the president of Brown Med also in Boston, and wanting to set up in Central Mass, and having to coordinate and evaluate sites is not an easy thing, especially in our COVID world, where everybody had to be extra cautious about getting together and meeting one another and evaluating sites and doing that safely, which Nick Chacharoni came, offered a site. It was a wonderful location. We looked at the logistics of the way the operation worked and how it was kind of copy and pasted from another facility in Iowa, I believe. It was an effective model that worked for them. And we took that model, copied and pasted in Worcester, and it worked out wonderfully. It couldn't have been a better site, really. And all of a sudden, I think the lease was signed, material was rolling in a few days after that. And even construction was going on as we were getting rolling with overhead doors being installed and network being set up. It was fascinating operation to watch and be a part of. And didn't think we could basically set up a startup company that quick. But it took a team. Took the team of Corey. It took the team of Drew and Karen and executive team at Brown Med to really pull all the pieces together and to get that many students. Again, they were home. They were excited to get out. They were excited to work. And really, you saw everything just change in their lives over those couple months. Kind of reluctant to go outside at first, and all of a sudden they can be out, they can be working and making a paycheck and doing something positive for their community and for themselves. And I think it was just a great, great opportunity for everyone.
Yeah. So Corey, so the way it sounds is like this literally was, like you said, it was from the ground up. You guys had to get, you had to get the building. And then once you got the building, then I'm assuming there's a big reason as to why you all got involved and wanted to push to do something like this. Obviously, everybody out there, I would think, would know that the big assumption would be the pandemic. But do you mind kind of giving us an idea what it was that you brought to the project, the actual project itself, to the students to do?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, you know, we had set up a smaller temporary site in addition to hiring, you know, 37 temporary workers at our Iowa site. And so we had earlier on been able to pivot and start developing PPE. And so that included, you know, the face shields, which is what we manufactured at the Worcester site as well. And we also did hire some people to do face mask sewing with the medical grade. Cloth face mask sewing. So we had some different avenues to try to just pivot, because we could see that, you know, our country was struggling just, you know, to meet the demands of the hospital and the healthcare systems, and really truthfully to protect those frontline workers. You know, I mean, those were the people we felt as though we needed to take care of, the people who needed to take care of their communities and the people who were falling ill with, you know, the coronavirus. So we, you know, had already started doing that in a response way in Iowa. And this was just kind of a nice thing that fell into our lap, so to speak, where, you know, we felt like if we could get the place and we could get the people, we had the materials to put all those face shields together. So why not? And like Brian said, it was, to me, it was a great opportunity to get young people involved in the conversation and basically motivate them, you know, to get to a place where they were supporting their community to have access to critical PPE to save lives. I mean, I know I was behind the scenes, but I'm extremely proud of everything that we did and every single person who came on board and, you know, and was at that site every day. And, you know, thankful to Brian and Karen and that Mass MEP team for fielding our kind of our dream in a way of being like, this is kind of a crazy idea, but if we can partner, you know, through that Mass MEP way, Karen gave us access to the students and it just kind of was a great match in that way. So with that, I think Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but we produced like over 750,000 face shields from that site, right?
763,000.
There you go. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Number. I was, you know, I'm not going to lowball that. That's 763,000. And that's, you know, that's only a portion of what we were able to do overall as a company. And we already had, you know, clients that were sending us invoices for hundreds of thousands of pieces. And so at that point, we felt like we were just trying to keep up with the demand. But really overall, it was see it all come to fruition was probably, you know, like the fact that, yeah, it kind of got up and running and we were able to secure the folks, the materials and the location, and we were off and running, you know.
So Drew, in going after when you said about, you know, the puzzle, the bogglement was, I got to find 65 kids now to fill these slots in, is there a process that you have to go through, or you corral, put your arms around them all and just bring them in, and that's how we end up with like Landon and Samantha and Isla?
So originally we were targeting the Innovation Pathways Advanced Manufacturing students. And when Corey and her team said that they wanted, you know, close to 60, 65 students or whatever, I know we ended up with 56. But for me,
it's like candidates versus hires.
Yeah. We only had, you know, a handful of students enrolled in the Innovation Pathways program that were old enough. They had to be 16 or older. And even if you combine those students with those that are in the day program at Worcester Tech, we weren't even close. So we knew that we had to expand our reach there. We just blasted it out to all of the schools, all the school counselors. We sent mass emails out to, you know, the 11th and 12th grade students across the district and just kind of collected who expressed interest. And it was surprising, but really inspiring how much interest there was from the student standpoint. And I think once the students, they can let me know, but my impression is that they started talking to each other and they're like, hey, come do this with me.
So guys, what do you think? Like, is that true? Is that kind of how you got, how did, so maybe each one of you, give me your background as to how you got involved in all of this. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
All right, Landon, look at that.
I think what the situation that Mr. Weymouth discussed is exactly how I actually, you know, found out about this job. So like, I'm not an Innovation Pathways. I'm not in any construction shop at my school. I'm a finance and marketing student, like, literally no background in manufacturing. But the way that I heard of it was that my friend, he contacted me, he texted me, and he was like, hey, there's this job out. Would you like to work it with me? And I was like, okay, I'll look into it. And I was like, oh. And then I applied, I got hired, and, you know, that's how I found out about this job, from my friend who learned about this job from his friend, who learned about this job from, like, an email from school.
Landon, what grade are you in?
I am in the 12th grade. I just started.
Nice. So you're a senior this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. All right. So, Isla, how about for you?
Well, I was in one of my classes on a Zoom meeting. And Brian told us all about this opportunity, and I've been looking for a job for, like, a long time. This was my first job, and I just really loved it. It was really a quick process, just signing up, putting in my paperwork, and then within a week or two, I was working there.
So your first, that's a great first job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really impressive. And what are you in, Isla? Are you in one of the Innovation Pathway programs or?
I'm in advanced manufacturing. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Isla is a daytime student in our advanced manufacturing program.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And what grade are you in, Isla?
I am a junior.
Nice. So she's a good student with you then, Brian?
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that Zoom meeting where I put the invite out for people to apply and I want to give Samantha time, but it was funny for any one of those students that applied, it's a big process just to get all your paperwork together, fill out your application, get your birth certificate, your IDs and things like that. But for Corey, this was, I think a 24 hour a day job for about 2 weeks of onboarding everybody. So it was
a little rough. there were lots of 15, 20 hour days, but working from home, my bed was not very far away. Right.
Yeah. She doesn't have that commute. All right, Samantha, your turn in the spotlight. So tell us about how you found out about the program.
So actually, Brian contacted me and asked me if I wanted to join. And I was supposed to be, I'm an innovation student, innovation pathway student, and for manufacturing. And I was supposed to do an internship at another company, but because of Corona, it got canceled. And so that was supposed to be my summer job. And then Brian contacted me with RoundMed, and I was like, oh, cool. The opportunity, and so I took it, and yeah, I'm very grateful for it.
So what, are you a senior then, Samantha?
No, I'm actually a freshman in college. I go to QCC right now.
That's fantastic. Yay. So this is great. So this was a great opportunity then for you to kind of dig your heels in and really see, you know, some of the inner workings of what your, you know, where your path is leading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. So, I mean, it's really cool. So we have three totally different perspectives when it comes to the student side of it, which is really neat to hear. But obviously, you know, the whole point of getting it out there and showing the different ways, and it doesn't matter. It was to pull the students in and have them involved. I think, so you did, you said, so we, the goal was there a goal to have a certain amount of shields done, Corey, or was this just kind of a, let's just, we want to get at least this many done. Was there a timeline on how long you wanted to keep this going? Was it just for the summer? Can you give us a little bit of insight on that?
So as Karen mentioned a little bit ago, the conversation started kind of end of April, but then, you know, into May, and like eventually we were into June at, you know, the beginning of June, and we didn't have very much time. So we set a target date to set the site and open it. And June 22nd was our start date. And then we ended the site on August 21st, because we know that a lot of the students were heading back to their school, their schoolwork and their course load. So we obviously didn't want to be, taking them away from that. So we kind of agreed this pretty much 2 months was a great amount of time for us to do whatever we did. It didn't really matter in terms of how many face shields we produced, but I think from my perspective, and I know, and I might be speaking for Brandon, but he and I talked about how just impressed we were, because by the end of it, when we learned it was over 700,000, nobody thought that that would be the case.
Question for Brian, the students, in response to kind of the number of face shields that you're trying to produce, you guys kept like adapting your approach and trying to challenge each other throughout the course of the summer, right? Can I hear
Samantha's laughing?
All are, look at them.
Tell us.
So basically, after a while, we became friends with each other. And so I had friends in another table, and we kind of made it into a competition slowly, that whoever made the most mask by the end of the day would win. And so me and my friends were try our best and do it as fast as we can. So it was fun. It was it helped make it fun.
It was exactly like that. I remember. it was like a race to who could make the most face shields. It was basically that's what it was.
We had set up pretty much, I would say, attainable goals for each table. And I put out sheets at each table and I said, you know, check the box when you finish this set of 25 and check. And I thought it was an attainable goal, but difficult to reach. And I thought if they can work to fill that sheet, then they've really done their part. And I was going to tables near the end of the day and they were adding rows to the chart that I was giving them. And they were, you know, it was amazing to see some of the tables where I expected or hoped for, say, 2,500 off a table, and they were hitting 3,200. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so that was feeding each other to really, you know, I want more check boxes on my sheet than you have on yours. So it was healthy competition and it really got them going. And we reported out every single day the amount per day, the amount per person per hour, that the rate that it was if you averaged everything out. And it was amazing because we were right up there statistically with the actual BrahMed manufacturing facility in Iowa. So that was good because I really, you know, I wanted them to model that, and they really came through and did a fantastic job of doing that.
So obviously for the competitive people that are on here listening, we want to know who won. So do you have those, do you have that tally there?
Everybody won.
I mean, we all made the team at the end of the day, no matter how much we win. But I remember there was this one table. I looked over at the sheet. These people had 3,500 face shields done, like, in a single day at the end of the day. Which, if you don't know how much that is, that is a lot of face shields. Usually, on average, like, my table with the people that I work with, we get, like, 2,000 face shields done a day, like, if we, you know, work hard. Maybe 2,500 if, like, it's a really good day for us. But like 3,500 face shields in a single day, which is like usually double the average, is like amazing. I do not know how those people did it. It was the table next to us, by the way, the one that we always competed with and never won.
And they had to do this very spread out too to meet all the social distancing requirements that were new in a manufacturing company. So there was no ability to squeeze everybody together and make a production line. We had to, you know, it was basically set up as a lean manufacturing operation. Yep. With 10 to 15 individual manufacturing lines with three at each area, because that's the only way that they could be properly spaced to meet the social distancing requirements for a manufacturing facility.
Mm-hmm. And something that really impressed me, something that really impressed me was the fact that you were able to choreograph all sorts of different schedules with the kids. Some were there full time, some were there part time, some were there a few days, you know.
Yeah, afternoon, in the morning. Yeah.
Well, and to go from a teaching and to go from a teaching position to really a manufacturing operation with entirely new employees, like 100% new employees that didn't necessarily have any background at all. It was kind of impressive to me.
Yes, Brian.
Yes, Brian, we appreciated you being
It was fun.
All day. It wouldn't have been as successful had you not been a key player in that. So I met to Brian and obviously to the MAP partnership, but Brian specifically for being there every day. We genuinely thank you.
And I have to embarrass him a little bit, but I talked to him several times during the process and he could not say enough about how impressed he was with the kids. How impressed he was with the BrahMed team. The fact that you guys just got it together so quickly and were so professional and, you know, just set up this whole thing so quickly. And he had a lot of good things to say. You going to share any of those?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for the kudos, but it was all the kids. I almost felt guilty at one point because they paid me for this fun. But you know, the kids just did such an amazing job, and that was the reward to watch them. And it got to the point where, and this is a goal of any kind of manufacturing site supervisor, to be able to stand back and look and see the process just working. And it was, but the BrahMed family, I have to say that as a family, this wasn't just a job. This wasn't just a place to go for 8 weeks. I was actually very, very proud to be a BrahMed family member for that time. And that was because of you know, the caring staff, the, you know, they got to know all the kids, and every single person that was there was, you know, the heart of the Brown Med management team, Corey and Kylia and Brandon and everybody else, the people that I spoke with in Iowa. It was just such an amazing family, and one that I was proud to be a part of. And I hope I passed that down to the students that were there. I really hope I modeled the same model that Brown Med did to me, because I think that was a motivating factor behind its success.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast channel on either iTunes or Spotify. Next week, we will have episode 2. We'll see you then in our space, your space, or cyberspace.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.